In fact, spending a half hour at the water cooler during work hours is a form of stealing.
What?
Yes, it's called time theft, and it's the same as taking money from the company. Can anyone think of examples of things that are over-the-line time wasters?
This meeting.
Yeah, that was over a decade ago. The Office, exploring some of the ethical issues around time theft. What is your obligation when you're on the clock to be constantly working if you're doing personal things? Making phone calls, checking social media. Are you not only just, you know, not a productive employee, are you basically stealing from your employer? They're paying you to work. And if you're doing something different, is that a problem? Now, this has become kind of a unique challenge over the last few years as a lot of people have been working from home. And maybe their hour-to-hour, even minute-by-minute activities aren't as closely monitored. And when you're at home, it's a lot easier to find things to distract you. Do a bit of work, throw in some laundry, for example, that kind of thing. Now, it's interesting because this also happens to be the week that federal public servants are being forced to return to the office, and many are not happy about it. But there are some unique challenges around all of this. I think some form of remote or hybrid work is going to be with us for some time. And there's a case out of BC raises some interesting questions about expectation and about how closely employers can and should keep an eye on their employees. Story here from the Financial Post. A tribunal has ordered a British Columbia accountant to pay her former employer more than $2,600 after tracking software showed she engaged in time theft while working from home. The decision by the Civil Resolution Tribunal shows the woman made a claim of $5,000 to cover unpaid wages and severance pay, arguing she'd been fired without cause. But the employer submitted a counterclaim. They had evidence showing a 50-hour discrepancy between her timesheets and activity recorded by the tracking software on her work computer. The company says the woman wasn't doing her job. She was getting paid to work. And as such, she has to pay just over $2,600 back to the company. So joining us for some thoughts on how significant this is and this whole concept of time theft and labor law, very pleased to welcome to the program one of this country's most prominent labor lawyers, Howard Levitt, a senior partner at Levitt Shake. Howard, great to have you with us here. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
This story
has actually attracted international news.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's crazy. Now, is this a first of its kind of ruling as far as you're aware?
Well, yes, I haven't seen it. It's funny. I wrote a column myself in the Financial Post 3 years ago when everybody started rushed home talking about time theft. And I got assailed and attacked from every quarter possible, other law firms, everybody saying, how dare you say people are going to steal time when they're working from home? That's precisely what they're going to do. If there's nobody looking at them, they'll be watching what they're doing. You know, before, of course, they put in software to some companies. If people aren't going to have somebody hanging over their head, why don't they just walk over to the laundry? Why don't they make more personal phone calls or be on the internet doing other things? Of course, people are people. That's exactly what's going to happen. And, well, this is the first case I've known of where a company's proved it and decided to sue. They probably wouldn't have sued, except they were sued. So they just counterclaim because they're in the lawsuit anyway, probably hoping, like most counterclaims, would just make the employee go away. But that didn't happen. So a judge made a ruling.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The judge sided with the company. You're right. This was a counterclaim. The company probably was, you know, they knew about this. They were willing to let it go to move on. But this woman filed the claim, and they fought back and said, okay, you want to play that game? Well, here's what we got.
No, I don't know much about the details of the case. I haven't seen the case, only the news reports. It's supposed to be some sort of civil resolution tribunal, which, frankly, I've never heard of. Must be something specific to BC. But the interesting I've just found it. It's a small claims court decision. So it's not a civil resolution tribunal, as everybody's reporting. It's, well, maybe that's what they call it in BC. It's a small claims court. So what happened is they fired the employee, presumably because of this, and the company counterclaimed. You know, it's interesting in constructive dismissal. I'm changing the story a little bit. In the constructive dismissal cases, you resign because you've been constructively dismissed. But an employer can turn around, as they tell my employer clients do, and say, okay, we don't think we've constructively dismissed you, but by resigning, giving no notice, that's a wrongful resignation, and counterclaim for that. Now, you're really doing it just hoping the employee says the game's not worth a candle, they drop the case and go away. And I suspect that's what happened here with this company, Reach CPA Inc.
Yeah.
Carla Beast is the name of the employee.
Right. And so, yeah, I'm not familiar with all the details on what this tracking software entails, but that's been an interesting dilemma, I would suspect, right from the start, that, you know, there's some advantages in having workers at home or some kind of hybrid arrangement, but the trade-off is it's a lot harder to keep tabs on them.
Of course it is. Especially without tracking software, which has increasingly become ubiquitous during COVID. But at the beginning of COVID, you had to know what people were doing. And if you called them, they have cell phones. They just take their cell phones with them. If they're at the store, they answer their phone. Nobody's going to know they're at the store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was impossible to know what was going on. You could see you're getting less workout, but you don't know what that's attributable to. You might think, well, the kids are screaming in the background. That's disruptive. And here's the other thing. Because somebody is taking 10 minutes throwing something in the dryer, taking 10 minutes on a personal call, or taking 10 minutes on the internet. Well, people do that when they're in the office, too.
Yeah.
No one's expected to work 8 solid hours a day without respite. So that's not time theft. Time theft is essentially when you're doing another job, or you're just slacking off entirely, for example, watching the soaps during the day or something like that, or leaving home and going to the store and then not making it up later. That's what time theft is, not every minute not working, because everybody needs a bit of a break during the day.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I suspect most companies would take that approach. But, you know, are there some well-established lines here in terms of those expectations, or even when it comes to monitoring employees? Like, if you're on the company clock and the employee keep tabs on you, do you have anything as, you know,
yes,
in terms of privacy rights in that context?
No. People think there's privacy rights to a dramatically more extent than there really are at law in Canada. We have very, very limited privacy rights in Canada. It's talked about all the time. I have people come and they broke my privacy because they did A, B, or C. I said, no, that's the employer's right. You're working for them. They're paying you 8 hours. They're entitled to know that you're working. And no one would question that if you were in an office and the supervisor walked by and said, what are you up to? I see on your screen you're playing a game. No one would say they don't have the right to do that. And it's no different at home.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, any employer that's going to, you know, got two employees at the water cooler asking how each other's weekend was, you know, if you're going to punish employees for that or accuse them of time theft or ding them, you know, $20 from their paychecks, that's not a productive way to manage your employees, I suspect.
Correct. You won't have any employees for very long. And that's not what I think happened here. It seemed to be a much more egregious violation than a few minutes here or there.
Yeah, really interesting. Well, like you say, it's getting a lot of international attention, raises some interesting issues around some of these hybrid work realities we've been dealing with the last few years. Howard, appreciate your perspective on all of this. Thanks for making some time for us here.
My pleasure anytime. Thank
you. All the best. Take care. That's labor lawyer Howard Levitt with the firm Levitt Shake, one of this country's, as mentioned, more prominent labor lawyers.